Hello. This is our talk about things that are coming together for Fortran tooling, and this talk is about how me and my colleague experienced working with Fortran. And when I'm talking about me and my colleague, well, this is Peter. We are both working at a scientific computing institute in Darmstadt, Germany, and he is doing tooling for profiling and instrumentation, so researching where to put your measurement probes, about how to figure out which parts of your code take how much time, making that efficient with low overhead. And he also does applied performance engineering, mostly in a space and aerospace safety context, had done a master's thesis in collaboration with ESA. And I am just doing C++ compiler stuff, but I also have fun doing that. If it does analysis, transformation, be it source to source or IR to IR or optimizations with the limited optimization knowledge that I have, I'm at least very much interested in it. And basically, I'm using everything that is Clang tooling or IR passes in my day-to-day business. And day-to-day business means that at our institute, we have developed a lot of different tools that do a lot of different things. And they fall into exactly those categories. So MetaCG and the CAGE, so call graph generation, is what it sounds like. It generates call graphs. We'll go into that a little later. But there are also Alpaca, which is a program difference analysis tool, and Mini Apex is a mini app extraction tool, a proxy app extraction tool, which I presented last year at the HPC Dev Room. And there are also two other tools that I want to highlight. One is Pyra, which was developed by JP Lehr, the man with impressive mustache in the second to last row. And Capi, which was developed by a colleague of mine, Sebastian Kreutzer, who also brought you X-Ray's capabilities to now instrument shared libraries. So if you make use of that, he's the guy to thank for it. And now that we have all these tools, all of those tools were developed in C++ for C++ with C and C++ idiosyncrasies in mind. When I say all the tools for this talk, those two are the ones that are most relevant. So on the right side, you see a call graph. I think most of you are pretty familiar with how it looks. It's basically how do functions call each other and what are the possible call paths through a program. This is basically what our library MetaCG, so Meta Call Graph library, does. It allows you to specify a call graph and additionally attach arbitrary metadata to the nodes or the edges so that you can keep track of things that are interesting to you, your use case, your program. And CAGE, the call graph generation tool, is the IR-based usage tool of this library. There's also a source code-based usage tool for that. And Pyra is the performance instrumentation and refinement automation tool. This basically tries to automate his job by inserting the appropriate instrumentation and timing calls into a program, trying to minimize the overhead, but trying to maximize the amount of information you get about the timing and runtime behavior of your program. The exact ways how Pyra works will be explained later by Peter, but Pyra is basically trying to figure out that these three functions that are marked in a darker gray are the ones that make up the kernels of your program, so the part of your program where most of the computation time is spent. And both of these tools are technically not dependent on C and C++. So every time we talk about our tools and what they are doing, usually in an HPC context, we're always getting asked, well, are you able to do Fortran? And usually we say, well, Fortran is a little bit different than C, and there's a different front end, and no, we can't. But let's give it a shot, right? First things first, neither of us really does know Fortran very well. And luckily, we are not the only ones. This is an excerpt screenshot from a code that he found during his master thesis working at the European Space Agency, where they just copied some Fortran code from original source and treated it as a black box, which is basically summing up our combined Fortran experience. And second thing second, neither of us really worked with Fortran tooling and MLIR, which make up a whole lot of the Fortran front-end driver. But we know IR, and you can get Flang U to emit IR. So we skip all the scary things that we don't know and rely on the things that we actually have some experience about. So the idea was you take Flang U, you ask it nicely to emit some IR, then you take the IR call graph generation tool that is obviously language agnostic and will work out of the box. Then you have your analysis done, and then you can use our tools, namely Pyra, to do your analysis and hotspot detection and whatever. Profit. There's no way this could ever go wrong. And when a colleague again came to us from Aachen and asked, well, we have this Jülich KKR K-loop code that might be interesting to you for your hotspot analysis, we gave it a shot and just loaded the available Flang U driver that we had lying around and gave it a shot. And the program didn't even configure. We weren't even able to ask Flang U to provide any IR because during the configure step, the program checked for the compiler identification, and Flang U is too new for the build system to recognize the compiler identification. But not to worry, one afternoon, maybe two afternoons later, we hacked Flang U's compiler identification and the appropriate flangs inside the build system, and we could get it to configure. Great. So after you configure, you compile, but our compile also failed. The reason for that was an unsupported intrinsic. And now this project started in January 2024, and we were relying on LLVM 16 because, again, that was what we had lying around. And we started looking into what is this intrinsic, do we need to implement it, and some helpful person in the LLVM community pushed a fix for that exact intrinsic 2 weeks earlier to the main branch. So instead of taking what we had lying around, we compiled LLVM from source, or Flang, and everything that belongs to this whole toolchain that Flang uses, and we got rid of our intrinsic error, and we got LLVM IR. This was another few afternoons to get things working, but now we have IR. We at least compile to IR. Now we take our IR and move it to tools. Well, you remember that we had to built the newest version of LLVM. And Cage, as it was originally designed to generate call graphs for C and C++, made use of typed pointers for some of its analysis, so mainly VTable analysis, to figure out, are we actually calling something that is a function type, or are we calling into a struct, which then is usually a VTable. But good news, Fortran doesn't make use of VTables in the same way that C++ does. So we were able to just strip out most of our logic of our beloved call graph generation tool, which left us with a very bare bones call graph generation tool with basically no other analysis than just providing you a bare call graph. But now you have call graphs for Fortran codes. And now that my work with LLVM IR, getting things to compile and having tooling done, I was able to hand over to my colleagues so he can do the actual Pyra work and the instrumentation work.
Great. All right. Thank you. To give you some to give you some background first on what how the measurements are working, basically, is both Pyra and also some of the other measurement tools rely upon Score P for the actual measurements, which is a profiling and tracing library coming mostly out of Jülich in Dresden, I think. Score P relies on instrumentation for its measurements. There are a couple of options how this instrumentation can work. So you can use -f instrument functions and related flags, which gives you some but not complete control over what's actually being instrumented. There's also a GCC plugin that's being shipped with Score P that kind of hooks into the compiler and inserts the measurement points. And it's not released yet, but we checked a couple of days ago, and it's by now a release candidate. So Score P9 will include a LLVM instrumentation plugin finally. So it basically does a similar thing to what the GCC plugin does, hooks into the compiling process and inserts these measurement probes. So that's what we did. We did some debugging, figured out Score P is not working with the older versions of Score P, but the fix has been pushed. So you built Score P from scratch, and then you try it, and then the compilation fails again because the OpenMPI Fortran 90 compiler wrapper needs to be aware of the kinds of flags that are supported by the actual compiler and emits flags that are not supported by Flang U. So one more diversion, basically. As I've said, so OpenMPI needs to be aware of the compiler flag supported by the actual underlying compiler. And it didn't do that until a few versions ago. So we tried to build OpenMPI 4.1.4, which didn't work, but it happens to work that if you use basically one of the newest OpenMPI versions, that this version you can build with Flang for the Fortran parts, then it knows the right flags and it actually manages to compile an OpenMPI Fortran program. We then had to recompile Scorpii again from scratch because it's kind of bound to the compiler version and OpenMPI version that you use. But after that, we were actually able to run Pyra. To give you some background here, I talked about instrumentation, and I guess most of you are aware, but instrumentation is one of the two major techniques besides sampling to generate data about a performance run, basically, and it's based on inserting measurement points into the application. There are a couple of variants of instrumentation. You can do instrumentation at different points in the process. You could do it manually. You could do it in a compiler and stuff. But we're talking here about compiler instrumentation on a function level, so no loop instrumentation or anything. Instrumentation is able to produce very precise and reliable measurements, but kind of introduces the risk of very, very high overheads. So if you instrument every function in a program, you can get overheads up to 1,000x or something, or even worse, which completely kind of ruins your results. So what you need to do is you need to find a balance between no instrumentation and full instrumentation, with full instrumentation giving you a lot of data, but you can basically throw your data away right away, and no instrumentation, which, well, there's no overhead, but no useful information either. What performance analysts usually do to find this balance is what we call the build-run-analyze cycle. So they start with a rough kind of initial overview measurement, and then they iteratively, stepwise, work their way and deepen the instrumentation further until they get some instrumentation configuration that is useful to them that actually gives useful information about the application. And as Tim already kind of announced, the idea of Pyra is to automate this exact refinement workflow. So Pyra starts by just looking at static information in the MetaCG call graph, and then it builds some initial instrumentation, runs the program, and then combines the dynamic and static informations to iteratively refine the instrumentation until it reaches to some configuration that yields a useful profile, hopefully. So that's what we did. And after these several afternoons of debugging, we actually got it working. There was one more thing. So Tim already talked about, okay, there were some problems configuring, there were some problems building. Well, of course, there were some problems linking as well. It turns out that the Jülich KKR code is kind of designed to work with the Intel MKL library, and it did refuse to work with OpenBLAS or something. So we kind of hacked the build system again to kind of link the MKL things into the Flang new build, which in the end worked, and we got it working. And actually, Pyra is able to successfully instrument the binary and find the relevant hotspot, which in this case is some kind of matrix inversion, which calls into MKL here. All right, to sum things up. So as it turns out, you can use LLVM IR-based tools to do Fortran tooling with Flang new now. It's a little bit hacky sometimes, so from time to time, you need to move to newer, potentially unreleased versions still, but that will sort itself out over time, naturally. Build systems are always a bit tricky, so you might need to spend some time hacking your way into it. And by now, you still might need to compile things from source as they're not released yet, right? But, well, it is possible. And we demonstrated that using this Jülich mini app. So, as Tim said, right, we're not Fortran people, not even Flang developers, but basically from our perspective, which is looking in from the outside, it really looks like things are coming together for Flang and for Flang tooling as well. And I thought some people might appreciate that some things are moving forward, right? To conclude this talk, let me give you a quick kind of outlook into what's next for us. So as Tim said, at the moment, we mostly rely on LLVM IR to do our tooling, some things also on source code level. So we think about trying to kind of move that to Fortran as well. So Flang U does have a kind of source code level plugin interface under development. It seems to us that it's pretty much in early stages of development at the moment, and you're basically discouraged from using it as of now. But as soon as that's to some mature state, we're definitely going to take a look at it. And we're always in the process of refining the heuristics behind Pyra and the other tools to kind of come up with better instrumentation configurations with less overhead. I'm actually working on a project called Flip right now, which is kind of tailored instrumentation to kind of generate just the information that you need to generate a good profile. And we're also looking at dynamic instrumentation, which is kind of instrumentation that does not need rebuilds in between iterations, so you can just turn off and turn on the instrumentation at runtime, which is something this LLVM X-Ray does, and we're in the process, mostly our colleague Sebastian is doing that to do that in his copy tool. All right. Thank you very much for your attention, and we're looking for any questions. Thank you.
All right.
So the question is, what's the killer application for instrumentation-based profiling against sampling-based profiling? Well, it's kind of always, so you do have both options, and there's some upsides and downsides for both. So the main thing is that kind of gives instrumentation the edge over sampling in some use cases is that it's reliable. You won't miss anything. So with sampling, depending on your sampling interval, of course, you can't be sure that you're not missing anything, any smaller functions, which is something you, especially if you do tracing, right? Then you also want to see smaller functions, and that's something you can do with instrumentation. You start using an instrumentation to do profile, and as soon as you like the instrumentation configuration, you use it to do traces. But the point is right, sampling does similar things with a different approach. Yeah.
Do you have any plans to look at real applications or data applications? If you want a suggestion, the CP2K is considered a Fortran compiler killer. It's very big and it's very uses lots of features and stuff.
So the question was if we try to look into things that are not proxy or mini apps, but CP2K was the exact application you mentioned, which is known to be a Fortran killer. So we are definitely interested in getting things to work for more complex codes. We looked into mixed codes like Cloverleaf, which use C and Fortran combined to do things, which also had interesting first results. But short answer is we are still scared of large and big Fortran codes, because if things go wrong, neither of us really will know what is going wrong. So while it would be, of course, interesting, there are a lot of things inside our pipeline that would then have a realistic chance of failing, and the idea is to work our way slowly up to more and more complex codes and not jump from, this is a small proxy application mini app which we have a domain expert on, which we can ask nicely to help us figure out what's going on, to, this is a known compiler killer, are you interested in having your application work on that? Yes, we are, but we'll give it a little time. Yes, please.
What about other tools like Flang Tidy, for example,
So the question was, what about other tools like Flang Tidy compared to like Clang Tidy? If I get this correct, you're asking about whether we are looking into helping developers write better Fortran code with like tools like Flang Tidy. In my experience, which is very limited when it comes to Fortran, Fortran tooling support is very bare bones. So while there is a lot of things to do, writing a Fortran-based tool that helps you write syntax and tries to find obvious errors would again require us to actually know what's going on in Fortran. So sadly, again, the answer is I really see the use case for a tool like Flang Tidy, And I hope that someone with more Fortran experience and knowledge than I will have a go at it, because you can start doing it. There are compiler plugins available for the Flang compiler now. Again, the API is under heavy development, and it says do not use for production use case on the documentation, but you can start now, and you might be ready once the API is stable to just release Flang Tidy. Nice use case, currently not on our roadmap, sorry.
And we're out of time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.